Now, recording live from the SEC Pub, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome back, hour number two, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio on the board, Wesley Coleman talking wall-to-wall Saints here at the SEC Pub. The Saints come out ahead, a hard-fought battle. They beat the Carolina Panthers on the road, three-game road stretch, 12-9. It was ugly. It was ugly. We sitting during the break, we arguing about where's the problem. Is it the offensive line? Is it the wide receivers? Is it Drew Brees? Listen, we have to figure out, and this is a segment where we're going to do the bad ugly, so we might as well get it out now. You notice how we start the show with all the positive stuff? We put the good in the first segment because we don't upset people. Yeah. By now,
I'm sorry, I'm going to get that over with so we can plunge off that.
Yeah, right, and they make everybody upset with us and turn it off. At least they listen to the first hour.
Yeah.
But now, this is where we need to start trying to figure out. And I think this debate that we just had, we had a minute to clarify our thoughts. I am leaning towards thinking that it's the offensive line, but I also think outside of Thomas, the wide receivers aren't helping. Heath, you have a little bit different. I think you and Tomas have a similar thought about what you think the major problem is.
Drew Brees. Drew Brees is just not playing like Drew Brees right now. I mean, it's as simple as that. I literally am watching this game and I'm thinking, is this real? You know, did aliens really abduct somebody and put somebody else in there? Because this guy is not the guy that I've been watching play quarterback for the Saints. And yes, okay, I'm not. So he gets a little more pressure than he has in the past because of the offensive line at times. But the way he handles it, he just looked like a guy. He looked like a rookie.
Right.
I don't know.
He's had some uncharacteristic plays, like the Dallas play.
He's had quite a few, and we've talked about this in the past. Every year that we've done this show, we talk. There's at least one game a season where Drew Brees just doesn't look like Drew Brees. There just seems to be at least one every year where you just go, I don't know what I just watched. Right now, we're on the third, really. I mean, because ever since the Dallas game, from the first snap of that game, he has looked rattled and just not playing at the level that you expect Drew Brees to play at.
Tomas, is it the offensive line? Is it the skill player? Is it just Drew Brees is just off right now?
Well, my bad is sort of part of the issue. My rant is the other part of the issue.
he's holding back. He got his arm folded. I'm not ready.
But I will give you one hint as to something that I've seen in Drew Brees in the last three games, and I don't know if you all have noticed this or not. At the beginning of the season when we were racking up points, whenever Drew was back there getting ready to throw, as usual, he rolls up on his toes. And so he's throwing from a position where he's craning his neck up on his toes, so he's like 6'1 and a half instead of 5'9. And so when he's throwing the ball, it seemed when he would do that, it had a lot more accuracy. It didn't go haywire. What I've noticed in the last three games, and I just watched the game again, he's throwing flat-footed. If you watch this game, there are so many times that Drew Brees is throwing a ball, it's hitting the ground short, it's off target, he's throwing it flat-foot. He's not up on his toes, you know, and it's not because he doesn't have time. So that's just something I noticed about it. I don't know if you guys saw that or not.
No, I didn't notice it. What do you think? I mean, what do you read from that? What is it? Just a observation? Or are you saying that mechanically you think there might be something?
You want me to do the parts of the
right? Okay,
now?
Hang on, Wesley. You were saying earlier during the break that you thought I was right and all the problems, the offensive line. Go ahead and tell us more about that. I'm trying to save you, Tomas.
What? Wait, now my rant's going to start for sure now.
Dave, I'm not sure if I can go with you there and necessarily say that I agree with you. I think that, I mean, obviously there's some problems with what Brees is doing. His ball's not coming out the same as it normally is. There's definitely a flutter to it. It doesn't have the tight spiral that it normally has on a lot of throws. He's overthrown people. He's thrown behind people. He's held onto the ball and been late when we've, on the replay, seen somebody open.
Yes.
He's had more balls batted down in the last 3 weeks than I think he has the rest of the season combined. There's something going on.
Yeah.
Having said that, if I had to choose one person on our team to be struggling that I could count on to put in the work and fix it to lead us to a Super Bowl, give me the problem with Drew Brees. I mean, rather than Cam Jordan hasn't put pressure on a quarterback in 3 weeks, I'd be like, what in the heck? He must be hurt. Brees can fix this, and I believe he will.
Right. And yeah. and I do – listen, call me the optimist. I've just seen it too much. I've seen the difference. I'm confident, and I believe that – maybe not all. I'm not saying we're going to go back to scoring 40 on everybody. But when we get back in the Superdome, it's always been a discernible difference between the way we play on the road and we play at home. I'm confident. I'm confident that when we get to the – we'll be scoring like 15 points. I mean, and technically, that's like a 20% increase right off the bat. Yeah, right. So.
Now, look, I'll say this, too. I've already said, you know, how I feel about the way Brees looks right now. I've also had some serious questions about the way Sean Payton looks right now.
That's the other part. Okay. Go ahead.
And when you think about, so I won't say too much about it, but the point is when you think about the relationship between Drew Brees and Sean Payton, it's as much about whatever this, what's the word I'm looking for? It's out of sync. Something is out of sync between those two.
Dysfunctional, maybe?
Dysfunctional, whatever. Something.
Disarray.
Whatever.
absolutely. I don't know, man. Like, it's so hard if football is just it's such a team sport.
I saw a point last night when Drew Brees, they ran a little play. He turned around and tried to throw a screen back the other way. And, of course, the defender was already on whoever. I don't even remember who was it, Kamara, caught the ball. Yeah. And the camera was on, and you could see the look on Drew Brees' face, like, what are these plays we're running? He had a look on his face that was just like, I don't know what we're doing here. That's what I saw on his face when I looked at him.
I don't think they're out of sync, because this is the problem when you said that. You know, I think they're both agreeing on the plays, and that's the problem, that they're both agreeing on the wrong plays. No, I'm serious. You know, because before, I think, if you remember, do you like that play? Do you like what I'm going to call it? Do you love it? Do you like... Remember when we saw that commercial, it was because Drew didn't call that play. Peyton called that play. Now it's like they go to the sidelines and it's like no discussion. It's like, okay, let's start on this one. Okay, fine, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, my problem with Brees, and see, I'm giving everything away here.
All right, hold on to that thought, because we got a whole segment for you. So let's get to the bad.
All right, go ahead. Get
the bad ugly. And that way you don't have to jump into your segment. Heath, give me your bad ugly.
Well, there's a lot of obvious ways I could go here with the bad. We've kind of already beat on a lot of them. This is kind of a minor bad. You know, I'm not going to really call this. But the one downside or the one bad aspect of the defense last night is we didn't quite see the run defense that we've gotten used to here more recently. You know, the 100 and whatever, 100 yards or whatever.
It was 98.
98 yards. They just... At least it had that feel to me. Maybe it's just because I don't like McCaffrey so much, and it was like this. But there were several times when they would hit him, and he got another 7 yards, and you're going, why? You know, it's just that they didn't wrap up, whatever it was. But the run defense just wasn't as good as it has been more recently last night.
Let me throw this in there just to kind of give you some perspective, because in a way I agree with you that I felt like – But I wonder how much of that had to do with the fact that the Panthers seemed to just decide to stick with the run. And I think mainly because Cam Newton wasn't very effective. They obviously know he's injured, and he wasn't very effective throwing the ball, so they had no choice. But McCaffrey himself had 67 yards. Receiving. He had 67 yards receiving. In the running game, McCaffrey, let's see here.
15 carries for 53 yards. He averaged 3.5 yards a carry.
Right. So that's not amazing. And all in all, I saw another stat with other guys having rushes, like 22 yards by DJ Moore, if I'm not mistaken.
That was on the one where he fumbled.
He fumbled,
you take that goofy play out, and they got 77 yards rushing.
Right. So in a way, 76. At first, I felt the same way. It's like, golly, man, they should have had him for it. And it's like he got 4 yards on first down. And then there were a couple of plays where I just feel like that he is a good enough runner that as the game progressed and the Saints didn't put offensive pressure on the Panthers, that they just could keep running the ball. And they did. And while there were some plays, if you really look at the grand scheme of things, it wasn't It wasn't too bad. If you take out the DJ Moore, a couple of, I don't know, Cam Newton had to have a few yards rushing, maybe not a bunch, 15 yards. So you take out, I guess you got to give him because he is part of the run offense. But anyway, all right. Wesley, give me your bad.
Yeah, so, I mean, kind of tying into that, I'll say a minor bad is I thought we tackled pretty bad last night considering what you look at with the end numbers. DeMario Davis himself missed three tackles last night, which I don't know if I've seen him miss three tackles the entire time he's been here.
I don't remember missing three tackles last night.
He did. No, there was a few on both sidelines where he run some people down, had them at the line or even with the line, and the person got past him. Just some arm tackles and missed where he went a little too low, even on some smaller guys. So there was a few tackling issues last night.
In fact, there was a missed tackle right at the line on that Moore run that we're talking about that resulted in a fumble. I mean, it was that close.
That was Anzalone.
Yeah, they probably set him up so he can get that fumble.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. All right.
But my specific bad is just Drew Brees' accuracy. I thought that all around it wasn't great.
Okay, so you went from spent 2 minutes talking about the tackling.
He
and
was
then,
adding
so,
on to the minor bad.
To summarize, Drew Brees didn't throw the ball well.
We talked about Drew Brees enough. I'm not going to keep piling on, but that was my bad.
All right, okay, way to pile on. Moving on, Tomas. Tomas, give us a bad.
My bad is going to go on the other side of the line. My bad is the overall offensive scheme for this game, and it's a continuation of the previous game. You know, you have two 1,000-yard running backs in the backfield, and you're throwing dink and dunk passes. On one series, we throw it was a backwards pass. It wasn't even forward. And Kamara gets tackled for, I don't remember how many yards lost, four or five.
Five, I think.
And then the very next play, we do another one where he loses another 7 or 8 yards.
Yeah, was a frustrating series of plays.
I mean, it was like, who's thinking up these plays?
I'm pretty sure that was the series when the camera caught Breeze's face, and I swear I could see Breeze thinking to himself, what the hell? What did we just do here? What are we doing?
So I'm going to say that and I know that it's not just Sean Payton. I know they get together, and it's him, Lombardi, and
Carmichael,
you know, who divide. Well, I don't know what these three guys are on because this is not the kind of offensive schemes that we had for the first, you know, eight games of the season until we had the break. This offensive game, the last three games have not been good. So that's my bad.
And you didn't even mention, like, you talking about some play calling. You didn't even mention in a situation where it's to give the ball to Tommy Lee Lewis on that that end around, and I've always heard that analogy, you know, when in crucial situations, think of players, not plays.
Yeah.
And I know what they were thinking. They were thinking, man, they're going to be looking for Kamara, so that wherever you go, there's going to be six guys following them. So they thought they were just a little misdirection, and Tommy Lee Lewis tries to do too much. That was another one that I'm like, I'm sorry, I'd rather try something else.
But that's, again, the coach's fault.
No, and that's what I'm saying.
Because you're at the end of the game. You know, you could have come in with a field goal and put even more pressure on it because you're in field goal range.
Absolutely.
You know, and again, you got two running backs and you've got the Swiss Army blade, you know, sitting back there.
And doesn't it always seems to me when teams go for it on fourth, go for two, even if it's early in the fourth quarter,
now.
Well, I'm just saying in general, if they kick the extra point and then kick the field goal, the game's over and all that stuff is a moot point. Yeah. But anyway, my bad. And it's not just this game. With all this emphasis on the concussions and the problems, doesn't it seem like and I'm listening to the announcers at the game talking about how aggressive the Panthers are just, they're really flying around. And really what it boils down is fly around and use the crown of your helmet to drill everybody in the head, and nothing gets called. Nothing gets called.
Well,
It happened in the Dallas game, and they talk about how they're flying around, and like they're literally flying around, and in the Carolina game specifically, I'm just saying that it's going all the way back to the Dallas game, that they talk about how aggressive the defense is being, but really what they're saying is they're flying around and they're putting a crown to their helmet.
There's one guy in particular for Carolina that did that, Thomas Davis, their linebacker.
Thomas Davis.
He must have done that half a dozen times.
And there were, I don't know how many occasions where I kept rewinding and contact being made right around the outside white stripe of out of bounds.
Yeah.
And no flag. Then finally, Thomas stiff arms a guy. I saw the replay a half dozen times. Yeah. Stiff arms a guy, does nothing illegal.
Yeah.
The other guy face masks him, and they call
offsetting penalties
and what are illegal rough or unnecessary roughness.
Yeah.
So what's been going on the entire game? That's necessary roughness. But when Thomas turns around and puts a hand in the guy and stiff arms him to the ground, all of a sudden
I mean, it's been the big talk, and last night the officials gave the Chiefs Chargers game a run for its money as far as horrible officiating.
That was a terrible game. Yep.
The game was horribly officiated last night. And I tell you what, I try to stay away from this because I know I'm a Saints fan. The broadcasting crew last night did nothing but talk about Carolina all night, as though Carolina was the 11-2 team. Yep. I mean, you would have thought it was the opposite.
That's how it felt. Yep. Hey, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. When we come back, it's a Tomas rant. Don't go anywhere. Hey, this is Dave, man. As most of you guys know, I'm not a big gambler. It's not so much that I'm opposed to it. I'm just really bad at it. But, you know, I still like to put a little coin down just to make the games interesting. So I go to mybookie.com. That's the place I go to put my bets down. These guys, every time I bet, I get paid. Well, that's when I win. But anyway, look, that's why I urge you to go to mybookie.com. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding perks in the business, and it's all for you. Hey, for instance, like me, I love fantasy, man. You go, you can make bets on individual players and whether how many points they'll score that week. Hey, if you're like me and you just want to put a little something on the game just to keep your interest in it, go to mybookie.com. That's where I go. Sports Talk Radio, a full and entire BS and Beer podcast crew available for your listening entertainment today. Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, Wesley Coleman on the board. I'm Dave Romero. But what we have for you is the segment that you come for. The segment that you show up for, you tune in, you gather around, everybody gets around the radio at the house, turn the TV off, turn the iPads off, and they want to listen to a Tomas rant.
Oh my God, it's gonna blow!
It's a Tomas rant.
That's right, I don't wanna hear these facts.
Daddy, she's gonna blow!
I have opinions.
I got a nuke coming in, it's gonna blow in less than a minute.
That don't mean anything to me.
It's gonna blow! It's gonna blow!
My opinion overranks the fact, okay?
It's gonna blow up, it's gonna blow up.
And she will, which is a mathematical certainty.
Did you miss me? Did you miss me last week in my rant? I know several people were upset. Man, what happened? We didn't get to hear Tomas' rant. Don't panic. I'm here, and I've got a rant that I know that everybody out there is going to be shocked at what I'm ranting about. And there'll be a lot of people whose feelings will be hurt. Huh? Just like poor little Cam Newton. Your feelings will be hurt. You know, we have a great team. There's no doubt about it. The chemistry is fantastic on this team. And I just couldn't think of a better team with the kinds of character that we have in each position. You know, we have so many good-hearted, strong players on this team. But I'm about to jump on one of them. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because Wesley just brought something up earlier when we were on a break about quarterbacks. So my rant today is going to be about our quarterback. And I'm not talking about the guy who you see on the chop, chop, choppa, choppa videos, you know, who we picked up from the Jets by way of Minnesota, or Minnesota by way of the Jets, I guess, whatever. Yeah. I'm talking about the one and only Drew Brees. Now, I love Drew Brees. This team would not be the New Orleans Saints that we've come to love over the last 10 years if it weren't for Drew Brees. We'd still be the Aints, I guess. But I have a real problem. This team on offense has really sputtered. Yes, I believe that Sean Payton is not making very good use of offense. I don't like our offensive game plans for the last few games. Okay. But more importantly, I do not like the way that Drew Brees is playing. Now, as I mentioned to my cohorts, I have noticed in reviewing the film that Drew Brees is throwing much more flat-footed than up on his toes. That's one thing that's bothering me. Number two, and I think it's more important than being flat-footed. All right, get ready for this now. I have seen several interviews with the august Drew Brees and Drew Brees, where he says, you know, I'm just having fun. You know, I'm just out here. We're having a good time. Where is the fire in the belly? I see him come out pregame. He's talking about, hey, we're going to win. We're going to win. That's great. And then he gets on the field, and I don't see it. I don't see that fire in the belly. I don't see that desire to kick their teeth in, you know, to hold their face to the ground and beat them. I don't see that. Instead, I see kind of a pansy in effort. You know, well, if he catches the ball, it's okay. You know, if we win the game, you know, it's okay. No, it's not okay. May I remind you, Mr. Brees, you're at the end of your career. If you want another Super Bowl ring, you had best light a fire under your little tiny white behind. Because if you don't come to play, our team doesn't play. Do you not understand, sir, that you are the center point of the offense? You, sir, have to be the guy who plays with a necessity to win. Not a desire to win, a necessity to win. Because otherwise, look, we know we're shorthanded at skill positions. We got two great 1,000-yard running backs. Okay, great. But if they double up Michael Thomas short, you know, short and long, then we have a deficit. We have a unless, of course, you, Mr. Brees, provide that championship quality that turns a undrafted free agent into someone that people go, damn, how did he not get drafted? That is the power of Drew Brees. Not when he throws the ball into the dirt. Not when he throws a dying duck outside the sideline. That's not the Drew Brees that we need. Again, I don't say we want something. See, there's a difference between needing and wanting. We want a lot of things, but what do we need? It's a question of necessity. I'm tired of hearing about the Dallas Cowgirls. I'm tired of hearing about the Eagles making a comeback. I'm tired of hearing about the Chicago Teddy Bears going to be the big team to watch out. I'm tired of hearing all that. Because I have observed all 31 other teams in the National Football League. And I have to tell you, when we have our quarterback at the top of his game, and we have the defense that we are putting on the field right now, and we've got the Swiss Army knife at our disposal, there is no team, I repeat, there is no team that can beat the New Orleans Saints. None. I love to hear these talking heads talk about it, and I like when they pick other teams. Great. Don't look at us. But Mr. Brees, I'm telling you right now, part of that is because they think you're done. They believe, sir, just like old Grandpa Brady in New England, who can't get out of his own way when he's trying to get, you know, the ball off, they think that you're done, sir. Let's prove to them that you are not done. Get back on your toes. Quit throwing the damn ball flat-footed. Stretch your neck out there. Open up those eyes. Find the guy who you need to find and drill the damn ball to him. Get this, matriculate the ball down the field. Let's score points. I would like to see us get back to the 30s at the very least for the next two games and then get us to the playoffs, and I want boring games. I want games where by the half, people are going, who's next? That's it.
There you go. That's a Tomas rant. Only here, 97.7, the BS and Beer podcast. That's where you find this kind of quality ranting. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We got an NFC South report.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer Podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
podcast.
.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast crew. It is time for, you know, we don't do the NFC South. We do the whole NFL and the playoff picture.
Let's start with the South that didn't work.
But we also have a couple of hotline calls that we need to get to. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So how about we do one hotline call first?
All right, go ahead.
And then we'll do a little NFL playoff pitcher report and get to that second one.
All right, go ahead.
Hey, this is Lil Dice. I definitely want to give a game ball to Vaughn Bell. He played outstanding.
Yeah.
And the bad I have to complain about is Sean Payton. What the hell are you doing with the game on the line, giving the ball to Tommy Lee on a little end-around play, man? That makes no sense. You're running the ball. You got 2,000-yard backs in the backfield. Give the ball to either one of them. They were getting us down the field. We held the ball for over 6 minutes on this last drive. Absolutely no reason to turn the ball over to the Panthers ever again. So that's really my bad, Sean Payton. Get together, bro. Who that?
Thanks, Lil Dice. We've already touched on just about all of it, but yeah.
I agree with that.
I mean, all of it. Like, first of all, in that situation, I know what he was trying to do. Just the focus is somewhere else. Give it to Tommy Lee. He walks into the end zone. That didn't happen. Then there's players like Tommy Lee, and this is part of my problem. They're not Kirkwood, who's just really trying to get his feet wet. They're that player that feels like if they could just make a play, that'll springboard their career. So instead of just diving down and maybe even getting the first down.
Well, he had the first down. That's the sad part.
I'm going to
fall down right there.
I'm going to stretch it out. I'm going to try to do something to help my career kind of more than anything and end up getting himself a one-way ticket to the Greyhound bus station is what he did. So I agree with that. So anyway, let's get to talking some. Actually, Heath, you had a good NFC South report.
Yeah, the rest of the NFC South, other than the Saints, sucks.
Right.
I mean, what is the next Carolina with six wins?
Yes,
that's correct.
That's we have a 6-game lead.
Wesley, weren't you telling me last week how the NFC South was dominant?
I said traditionally were the best.
Well, and everybody expected them to this year.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, quite frankly, coming into it, that's what, and early in the season, that's what everybody was talking about. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Sure didn't turn out that way.
No, and we, you know, listen, we thought that Tampa Bay would be the team that, and it's every year. Oh, man, so much talent, you know. Anyway, the thing about it, we talked a little bit about the Rams losing. I was a little worried going into Monday night because all of the good teams, and I'm putting out my air quotes, all the good teams lost, and people were talking about trends and. I'm like, man, the Saints, you know. And then I start thinking, well, you know, there's going to be that one team that wins. It looks like we're the last good team. The Chiefs lost. The Rams lost. And there's a couple other ones in there. Oh, Dallas lost. So
they're not a good team.
Well, you know, I mean, you see, I'm even falling prey to the national media.
They were a divisional leader, though.
Yeah.
And 8-6.
No, yeah. The national media put it in my head. They say it enough, and I start believing it. Dallas could be like 3-9, and if they on a 2-game winning streak, and
Seattle
then,
was another team everybody was talking about quietly coming on. They lost
absolutely.
You know,
so those are the teams that lost. The Saints, they put themselves in a position, and I do think it's funny how you can start off. The Saints start off slow, they start building momentum. Next thing you know, they just bulldozing people, and then I feel like you get to the point where you kind of lose that steam and that momentum. And it doesn't mean that they won't have it for the playoffs, but it's hard to maintain that for 16 games.
You know, they've changed the offensive philosophy, okay? I mean, a lot of people were complaining that there was too much Taysom Hill, okay? We haven't had Taysom Hill for the last 3 games, and look, we're barely squeaking through. You know, now I'm not saying it's all directly because we don't have Taysom Hill. I'm just saying it changed the offensive philosophy, you know? Now, going on to the NFC South, just to break a couple of news factors there for you.
Uh-oh, well, hold it, break.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer News Desk.
All right, here's a few things for you to think about.
All right.
Rivera. You know the guy who's got one eye pointing one way and the other eye pointing the other way? I do not believe he is going to be the head coach of the Carolina Panthers next season. Here's a one for you to think about.
All right. Okay? Breaking news. Breaking
opinion. I do not believe
he's going to be going down the riverboat.
I think Riverboat Ron is going to be rolling down the river. Okay. I think that Jameis Winston will not be the quarterback at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
They can only hope.
Okay. I mean, these are just things you have to start thinking about what's going to happen. Dave mentioned that Atlanta's record is not so good. They could actually They could tank the last two games and probably be a top 10, maybe even a top 8 draft pick in the draft.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of changes, I think, that are going to be coming in the NFC South.
Afoot.
That's right, except for the Saints. I think for the Saints, I think that, and again, because I ranted on Breeze, if the Saints go on to win the Super Bowl, I would strongly suggest, highly recommend, it would be to his benefit, it would behoove him. But Drew Brees to say, I'm done.
Nice.
Good luck to you, Teddy.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So there could be a lot of changes in the NFC.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer News Desk.
There's been a lot of breaking news tonight.
Breaking news, 2 out of 3 of the hosts of the BS and Beer podcast predict and even expect or even want Drew Brees to move on next year. I want y'all to know I was not one of them.
I want him to retire on top.
After we win the Super Bowl.
Yes.
All right. Breaking news. Wesley saying
no?
I'm not saying it wouldn't happen, but I'm not predicting that it's going to happen. I don't want it to happen. I think Drew Brees is going to right his ship these last two games in the regular season, or 1.5 games that he's going to play. I think he's going to play above average and look a lot like Drew Brees going through the playoffs, get a Super Bowl MVP, and then come back next year.
Well, you did see his face after this game, didn't you? He took a few licks, you know. He had a couple of gashes on his face. You and I spoke about that, we've seen how quickly Brady has dropped off. You know, I just would like to see Drew go to the finals there, win a Super Bowl, and say, you know what, I'm leaving on top. You know, I'm going to walk out as only a few great players in the NFL have done. I'm going to walk out at the peak of my achievements here, and thank you very much, and best of luck to everybody else.
I don't know why this just reminded me of a video somebody sent me during the week of that kid that had no legs. And got in a fight with another kid.
Oh, that's a terrible video.
It's terrible, but that's what I'm thinking of Drew Brees. He's like, but he's still fighting. You know, he's still fighting, and sometimes he wins, man. Go ahead, Wesley. I could see you want to say something.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I mean, I think Ron Rivera would be okay if he got cut loose. I hear he's pretty successful with his Corey Hart cover band, just singing sunglasses at night over and over again. I think he's doing well. He'll be okay.
Man, it's those Hubble telescope glasses he has, and it's just like, I bet, like, at night when the cars are coming and shines, and it looks like, you know, whenever that Chinese theater where they have the lights in the sky, and it's
I did see that video of Helen Keller winning that fight. It was inspirational.
It was inspirational, I'm telling you.
All right, we got another hotline call. Let's get to that.
Hey, guys, B-Train here. Thanks for taking my call.
B-Train.
I thought it was fitting that the Carolina Panthers were all black last night, since America got to witness their funeral on Monday Night Football after all.
Nice.
Anyways, just like everyone else is saying, that was an ugly win, but still satisfying. I always love watching the Saints take out the Panthers. Without the defense played, I never really felt like the Saints were out of it. Von Bell, Demario Davis, Eli Apple specifically all look great. Saints just finished up a brutal 3-game road stretch, and if they can go out just one more game against Pittsburgh, then they can rest starters in Week 17 and then play in the Superdome for the next month. I truly believe we're going to start seeing the offense start clicking again now that they're back at home for the foreseeable future. So I'm not going to worry too much about the lack of offensive fireworks you've seen lately. Thanks again, guys.
Yeah, B-Train, thanks for the call. Yeah. He said a lot of things that I've said.
Well, I would agree with him right off the top, and it ties into what Tomas said about Rivera. It did have a feeling of the Panthers' funeral last night. The team just didn't look interested. Yeah. They weren't in a hurry.
Well, they fired so many coaches already during the season. You know, yeah. I mean, that's, you know.
That.
Hey, I was gonna ask B-Train a question. Is he still online or did he hang up?
No, he hung up
and he's left.
Okay. Hey, I was just gonna say this next home game we've got on Sunday, it'll be 32 days since our last game at home. I mean, the Thanksgiving Day game against the Falcons
was on
the 22nd. That's a long time to be on the road and be running around and traveling.
Yep. I remember that game. It was so dull. I spent it on my phone the entire time. I long for those days. All right. I had something to say. I forgot. Y'all distracting me again. You got something? Anybody got something interesting to say? Is it just me? All right,
no, we got some stuff to say. Look. Do you want me to say something or not?
No, go ahead. We got to burn up for like 2 minutes. So.
What I was going to say is to go on with what Wesley said. Yes, we're going to get back into the dome. We're going to get back into a different rhythm because we're not on the road all the time. We're not eating food. And they're going to get back on their schedule of eating the Thursday night dinner. That's what's been missing.
That's missing.
You know, they haven't been eating the Thursday night dinner, Wesley?
Wingstop.
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 That's right. Once they get back on track with Wingstop, there we go.
This segment brought to you by Wingstop.
Because we have not spoken about the fellow sitting over there on the corner, because you know he's addicted to wings, and I'm just saying to you,
Don Bobo.
Don Bobo. There you go. You know, so it's a possibility that things could be turning around for the great New Orleans Saints. Come on, Drew, wake up.
Wake up, Drew.
There you go.
Hey, don't go anywhere. This is where you pay your bills. The My Bookie Picks of the Week, where I got 11 last week, and I moved into seventh place.
Pretty impressive, wouldn't you think?
97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We'll be right back talking wall-to-wall Saints.
He wakes up in the morning.
Well, it's your old buddy Chef Pierre Gautreaux. Y'all gather around the radio and we're going to listen to some BS and Beer podcast. Ooh, ça c'est bon. That's a good show, yeah.
Here it is, the pick segment, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer podcast crew. All right, let's get to it.
So here's our pick segment. I decided to start with the two greatest picks in Saints history.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
Yeah. Dance party. Yeah. Hey. If they can do it in the locker room in the Saints games, we got to do something like this too.
Yeah.
What? I don't know all that stuff they do.
Chopper, chopper. Chopper, chopper.
Dancing with a broom. Boy, I tell you what, I put that on Twitter too. Cam Newton, just reminds me every time I watch him. Why I don't like him. Like, they brought up the broom and he's talking about it. He's just, you know, you could just see he's just disgusted. And it's like, either laugh about it that Cam Jordan sent him the broom and the bottle of wine. Either laugh about it like, hey, that guy's a fool. Or get mad about it like, we're going to. But he just, he's just whiny. And it's like, I don't hate anybody. But I very much dislike Cam Newton. He's just.
You can tell that he's the smartest guy on their team because. He received a really nice bottle of wine.
Yeah,
that
who
wine
got a complaint?
That he got, okay. That Jordan wine, Cabernet. Dude, that's an expensive bottle of wine.
Really?
And he said he's got it sitting in his locker. Well, he turned it into vinegar standing up in his locker. An idiot.
Oh, man, somebody needs to pour Joe Boone another drink.
There you go. Yeah.
All right, let's get to these picks. You didn't like that one?
No,
the Major League reference? He's like, come on, Dave, get it going. All right, let's get started.
Joe Boo.
It is bad to drink Joe Boo's rum. Very bad. All right, Redskins at the Titans. The Titans are giving up 9.5 points. Heath.
I'm going to take the Redskins in a 9.5. I think the Redskins are going to go out and give it their all. They smell blood in the water. They have a chance to catch Dallas. So I think I don't think they're going to win the game, but I think they're going to give it their all and stay within the 9.5.
All right, Wes.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Titans. Washington, I'm not sure who they have as their quarterback that's been retired for 3 or 4 years at this point in this game, but I'll take Tennessee.
Tomas, the most Titans. Irrelevant team in the league.
No, I'm taking the Titans because actually the Titans still have a chance, whereas the Redskins, I don't think they can catch Dallas. Philadelphia is the one that can catch a Dallas.
Redskins are playing
only
for
one
pride.
One game behind them.
One game behind them. Who, the Redskins?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're right there, man. I don't think they have a shot at it, but I'm going to pick the Redskins just because it's 9.5 points.
All right,
Ravens at the Chargers. Chargers giving up 4.5. Heath.
Take the Chargers at home and give up the 4.5.
Wes?
Agreed. Take the Chargers.
Chargers.
That's a sweep. The Chargers all the way around. Bengals at the Browns. The mighty, mighty Browns. Yep. Browns giving up 7.5 points under the guidance of Williams, who's going to end up being their head coach.
Yep.
All right.
Browns are feeling it. They got a shot. I'm going to take the Browns at home and give up the 7.5.
All right.
Agreed. The Browns are pushing towards a possible playoff push.
Yep, I'm going to go with the Browns.
Hey, the Bengals lost their quarterback, their best playmaker on offense. They've been playing like Titans. I'm going with the Browns. All right, Buccaneers at the Cowboys. Cowboys giving up 7.5 points. What'd you say, Heath?
Ah, man.
I agree.
This was a tough one to pick just because I'm going to take the Cowboys at home and lay to 7.5.
I know the Cowboys are playing at home, so that means they get their regular 11 players on the field plus the 5 players in black and white. But I think that maybe the Buccaneers are going to keep it within 7.5. I'll take the points.
I'm going to agree with Wesley. I'm going to take the Buccaneers because at 7.5, if it was 6.5, I'd take the Cowgirls. But 7.5, I'm going to take Crab Legs.
Yeah, you never know. I'm going to go with the Buccaneers just because of 7.5 points myself. All right. Vikings at the Lions. The Lions are getting 5.5 points at home.
Heath? Not enough. Sorry, Gary. I'm going to take the Vikings in this game.
Oh, yeah. You haven't been here in a while. We cut that whole Gary thing out. It's just the Garys. It's no more
the
fighting.
They're just Garys.
It's just, it's gone downhill quite a bit since you've been gone.
Yeah, I don't think I said fighting.
I just wanted to catch you up.
Okay,
I'm just catching you up. Gary might be listening to the show, doing some tile work in his bathroom or something. I just thought I'd throw that in
there. Sleds already, so there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, these mediocre Vikings are trying to – they're actually in sixth place right now, still looking at a playoff spot right now. I think they'll win.
All right, Tomas.
I'm going to go against the grain here, and I think I'm going to take the Lions.
Interesting. I'm going to take the Vikings for the same point. The Vikings are fighting for something. Lions, not sure what they're fighting for, just to be the fighting Lions again, fighting Garys. Giants at the Colts. The Colts giving up 10.5 points to the fighting Giants.
Yeah, it's a lot of points, but the Colts are looking good right now. They're at home. The Giants are woeful. I'm going to actually take the Colts and give up the 10.5.
I will also be taking the Colts and giving up the points. I'm a fan of the Colts after stomping the Cowboys 23-0.
I'm agreed to that. I think the Lilliputians are done, so let's go with the Colts.
I don't know what happened to the Colts. All of a sudden, they are looking like a good ball team.
It's offensive line. You should know.
It's offensive line? All right. I'm glad to hear it. Let's see. I'm going to take the Colts. Jaguars at the Dolphins. The Dolphins giving up 4 points.
I'm going to take the Dolphins at home and give up the 4.
I'll also take the Fish.
These damn Fish have given me heartburn a whole season. But I'm going to take them again. I'll take the Fish and give up the 4.
Get the Fish burbs.
All right. I'm going to go ahead. I got the Fish. I should pick differently than you guys just to make a move. So I will pick the Jaguars. Take those 4 points. I know that's a mistake, but I'm doing it anyway. Now we have the Bills at the Patriots. The Patriots giving up 14 points.
This is like...
I'm going to circle the wagons.
Oh!
And take the Bills into 14 points.
Wow!
Yeah, the Patriots beat the Bills earlier this season 25-6, but nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
That's what I heard.
I'm going to agree with Heath. They're going to keep it within 14.
I can't imagine taking any team that's given up 14. I've got to take the team that's getting the 14. So go Bills.
I mean, that's the only thing. That 14 points, and I mean, it's a sucker bet because the Patriots have not been playing well.
No.
And it seems like you should. But
And it just got beat by the Squealers, so they might bounce back.
You can almost lock in the Patriots with a huge win because I'm going with the Bills. You know? All right. Green Bay at the Jets. I understand, Heath, were you saying earlier that that Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing?
No, yeah. I wasn't saying I that. Said, is he oh, gonna, he said, is going to play?
Yeah. Philbin said he was playing.
I think Aaron Rodgers was like, I got to pull something another. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah. And then, pull my groin.
He's a Pat McGroin. Yeah. And then, no, you're going to be playing. He already had the U-Haul backed up to the the coach couldn't get in the door. And he's like,
He already called the State Farm agent.
Yeah. Then we're heading out.
They're like, hey, coach, we're just going to take off early. He's like, nah, you're playing again. He's, but I pulled my – no, you're playing. All right, so the Packers, even with the – God, that tells you something right there. Yeah. Even money with the Jets.
I think I'm going to take the Pack.
I'm going to take the Jets. They've been losing a lot of games, but they've actually been scoring some points, and the Packers haven't.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Jets over the Slackers.
I'm going with the Jets too, man. I'm not doing much in the way of diversifying my picks here. Texans at the Eagles, it's an even game.
Yeah. I'm going to take the Eagles at home in this game.
Okay.
I really want to take the Eagles, but I just think that their secondary is going to have a lot of problems with DeAndre Hopkins. I'm going to take Houston.
I'm going to go with the Eagles because I think they're a better team, believe it or not, with Nick Foles in there. There's just something about him at quarterback that this team rallies around.
It's probably that his back is not broken. Maybe.
That could
have a factor. All right, I'm going with the Texans anyway. So.
Well, you know how nice it is that he plays the games. For every game he plays in, he makes $250,000. For every game he wins, he makes another $250,000. So this last game, he made a half mil right there, baby.
Really?
Yes, sir. That's his contract.
I want to get one of those contracts.
Every show I do.
So I'm hoping he wins the rest of the games.
All right.
You might want to find the talent, Dave.
Yeah, that might help. All right, Texans, I'm going with. And now we got the Falcons, and the Panthers are giving up 4.5, or 4 at home. Heath?
Oh, God, this is like picking a, you know, can they both lose? But I'm actually going to take the Falcons.
Boo. I'm also going to take the Falcons just based on what happened last week. Falcons scored 40, the Panthers scored 9.
Boo. I cannot. On my parents' grave, I cannot take the Falcons. I take the Scampers.
I'm taking the Falcons because I hate Cam Newton. Anyway, let's speed this up.
Tell us how you really feel.
Rams at the Cardinals. Cardinals are getting 15 points at home.
Yep, not enough. I'm going to take the Rams on the road and give up the 15.
I'm going to take the Rams. Tomas, this is how you take the 15.
Yeah. I'm going to take the Cardinals in the 15.
Uh-oh.
I'm taking the Cardinals as well. Bears at the 49ers. 49ers getting 4 points at home.
I'm taking the Bears.
The Bears. Me too. All right. Then we got the Chiefs at the Seahawks. Seahawks getting 2.5 points at home.
This is a tempting one, but I think the Chiefs know that they got to get back on and really play right now. I'm going to take the Chiefs and give up the 2.5.
I think the Sea Chickens are going to run the ball like crazy on this defense and win.
I think Mahomes wants the MVP, so I'm taking the Chiefs.
All right, I'm taking the Chiefs as well. Then we got the Broncos at the Raiders. Raiders get 2.5.
Broncos.
All right, then the big game is the Saints. Who we got, fellas?
I'm going to surprisingly take the Saints.
I'm also going to take the Saints.
It hurts me to say this, but Saints!
Saints. I actually took the Panthers last week because I didn't think the Saints would cover. That's how I got to 11. For Tomas Mauricio, Heath Elson-San, thanks to Wesley Coleman on the board. I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast crew on 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We're the worldwide leaders in absolutely nothing.
Later.
Catch you next week.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back. And that's the way it is.
Oh boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh girl, give your time to Davey, Heath, and Tomas. We do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast, oh. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast, oh.